Okay, so we're going to be starting the new sugya of Kavod HaBrios, right? A fascinating sugya which starts on Brachos Yotessin Beis. Whoever can open up the Gemara, we're going to go through a little bit of the Shachar Vitaria. It's a very long Shachar Vitaria, really, it's basically in total in Amud. But we're going to break it up based on each part of the sugya that, as we analyze, we'll read the relevant Shachar Vitaria. We're going to see that in the case at hand that the Gemara discusses, there's going to be a very important clash between two very important Torah values. One value of Kavod HaBrios, hence the name of the topic, called Yoni, how would you define Kavod HaBrios? Okay, good. Personal dignity. All right, so Kavod HaBrios is a clash between one value of Kavod HaBrios on the one hand, and what's the other value? Chil Hashem, excellent, right? Which in this context is based on the violation of an Avera. So here you have a clash between Kavod HaBrios on the one hand and Chil Hashem on the other hand, and the question is, what wins out? So let's start off with the Gemara. Emmanuel. So Brachos Yotessin Beis, starting four lines down. Amar Yudam Rav. So what's the case?
Whoever discovers his clothes are Kiraim, mm-hmm. the clothes of his rabbi.
Okay, good. We'll get there. So Vapashas is discovering his own clothing. He realizes that he himself is wearing kilayim.
He has to take the clothes off, even if he's in a public place.
Exactly. And what's the counter pressure? Why would you think that you wouldn't? What do you mean? He's violating an Isser Daraisa of Levishas kilayim. Why would you think not to?
Because it's public.
And therefore, what? Kavod HaBrios, exactly. The counter pressure here, you pressure counter pressure. On the one hand, you're violating the Avera. Not Avera, which the Gemara is going to characterize in terms of Chil Hashem. On the other hand, taking it off, right, is going to breach your personal dignity of Kavod HaBrios. So let's see the Gemara explain. Right, so the upshot, right, the conclusion of from this drasha is that whenever there's a Chil Hashem, that trumps any Kavod HaBrios factor, whether it be for you or for your Rav. We'll get to the Rav part later in the Sugya. So here you have the Gemara saying very clearly that whenever you have a clash between these two values of Kavod HaBrios and Chil Hashem, which, what wins out? Chil Hashem. So for today's Shir, it's a little shorter because we started a little late, but today's Shir, we're going to try to discuss three things really quickly. Right? We have two values here, Kavod HaBrios, Chil Hashem, and then the clash between the two. So I'd like to quickly discuss each factor individually, right? Briefly discuss the factor of Chil Hashem, then discuss the factor of Kavod HaBrios, and then discuss the clash between them. What happens when you have a clash between these two different values? Okay? So starting off with Chil Hashem. So Eli, if I were to ask you, what's the Chil Hashem here?
Chil Hashem is that person is like wearing Kalayim and like in Kavod.
Okay, awesome. You just said, I don't know if you realize, but you just said two different things. You said he's wearing kilayim, which is an Isra Daraisa, and it's also where? In public. So the question that we're going to have to analyze is, are both of these factors necessary to trigger Chil Hashem? Is it both the violation of the Isra Daraisa and the fact that it's Farhesia and the fact that it's in public, like in the case of the Gemara where you have both? Or does one of those factors suffice? Does it suffice for it to only be the violation of an Isra Daraisa, but the Farhesia part is not necessary? That's what we're going to discuss right now. So again, in terms of trying to define the nature of the Chil Hashem, which overrides Kavod HaBrios, the big hakira here is going to be what comprises this Chil Hashem? What triggers this Chil Hashem, which trumps Kavod HaBrios? Is it just the violation of an Isra Daraisa, or is it both the violation of an Isra Daraisa and the fact that the violation is done in public? And we're going to see two different approaches to this. The first approach is going to say that both factors are required. You need both the fact that it's an Isra Daraisa and the fact that it's Farhesia, right? And we're going to see this clearly, at least in the Havamina of the No Debiuda. Everyone have their Makoro sheets? Did everyone get to the Nota Biyuda yet in course? So it's a crazy, crazy case. Anybody, Nadav, you want to say it out loud before we read inside? Did anyone remember the exact case of the Nota Biyuda?
It was a case of about Shuva, who had been involved in Niyuf, and then he was getting married. And
to who?
Daughter.
Yeah, it's a crazy case. Right? There's this, not even about Shuva, he was, it's clear from the case, he was a Ben Torah at the time. Whatever that means, right? It's Ben Torah at the time, and he committed adultery with a woman for years and years, we'll get to the case, and then he ends up marrying that woman's daughter. Crazy, right? And the question is whether he has to now inform his current father-in-law that his wife was Mezana, which would therefore require the father-in-law and mother-in-law to get divorced. So here you have, right, if he stays quiet, it's crazy case. If he stays quiet, you have this Chil Hashem, because they're going to be over this Avera of living with each other, even though they're not supposed to. But once a woman is Mezana, it's also for her to continue to live with her husband. So on the one hand, the Chil Hashem of that Avera. On the other hand, it's the Kavod HaBrios, because making this story public is going to bring down the entire Mishpacha. So that's the case. And it's like a famous case, there's a famous tshuva of the Nota B'Yuda. And going through this case, he goes through a lot of the different aspects of the Sugya. So we could be coming back to this Nota B'Yuda, but we're going to be discussing right now the particular part about this Farhesia or Tzinah. So let's just quickly go through the case. Nadav, you mind reading the case for us?
He was living with her for 3 years. And so now he married this woman's daughter, and I want to know if he has to tell the father-in-law or not. Because they are the religious people, it might embarrass the family. Maybe he shouldn't tell them anything because it'll destroy the whole family.
Yeah, so obviously, even in the question itself, is getting to one of the important exceptions in the Sugya, which we'll get to later, is the concept of Sheva Taisa, which basically says the violation of the Avera is the Sheva Taisa, so then in that case, Kavod HaBrios will override the Chil Hashem. We'll get back to it. But here it's actually going to be a funny case. So it's Sheva Al Taisa, and we'll get back to this Lamdas later when we get to Sheva Al Taisa. For him to stay quiet is Sheva Al Taisa, but what's going to happen to Kumbase? Exactly. So that's the big question. How you magdir Sheva Al Taisa? Is it the nature of the Avera, or is it the Kavod HaBrios? So we'll get to those details later. But right now, the Nota B'Yuda is going to come to it from the angle that that's no get to us right now, in terms of whether Chil Hashem is limited to cases of violation before Hesya. Go for it.
Maybe even according to the Rambam, who was apparently a Machmer Shita, that maybe Mishum Kavod HaBrios, you wouldn't have to tell them. Kilaim is different because it's publicly noticeable to everybody, meaning maybe it's a Chil Hashem.
Exactly. So we're going to see the fact that maybe only in that case, in the case in the Gemara, there's a Chil Hashem, because not only is there a violation of an Issa Deraisa, but it's Farhesia.
Continue saying. And they don't know that he's doing it by accident, so or out of negligence, so there's Chil Hashem. So therefore, we make him take it off.
So right now he's making a diuk from the Lashon Chil Hashem. Because, all right, Yon, if I would ask you, what's the case of Chil Hashem?
Shadow.
What?
Curse
in front of, when you say everyone, in front of? Exactly, right? Generally, the classical connotation of Chil Hashem is that it's in public. So he's saying the fact that the Gemara utilizes the concept of Chil Hashem, it just, that's the mashmos in the Gemara itself is that it's public.
Where do you get that from?
Okay, we're going to get that in just a moment, right? So he's assuming that it's the Davar Pasha, that just the concept of Chil Hashem is in public. And that's why he's making the deal. Look, not only is the case Bishok public, but look, even the Gemara's justification of Chil Hashem is the Pasha's limited to Farhesia. What? So we'll see a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which derives from the pasuk that it's in Bifnei Asara, but we'll get that in a moment. Okay, yeah, continue.
Alright,
so it's only in this context of a Farhesia violation that the whole sugya hinges between Sheva Al Taisa and Kumase, etc.
But
Yeah, so again, so at this point, in his Havamina, he's basically saying, the whole sugya of Chilul Hashem only applies when it's Far Hesya. And now he's going to tie it back to his case.
So what's his havmina?
Because in the case at hand, who knows about this nus?
Only him and her.
Exactly. So says the Nodabut in his havmina, in line with approach number one, that the Chilul Hashem factor, which can override Kavod HaBrios, is limited to a violation to Oraisa Bifar Hesya, in public. And he says, oh, that's the pashas of Chilul Hashem. And therefore, in Bnidon Didan, right, in the Noda Byuda's case, where it's a private violation, no one else knows that the mother-in-law continuing to be married to the father-in-law is a violation. It's only Bitsina. No one knows other than her and him. So says Noda Byuda in the Havamina, that's not the case of Chilul Hashem, which overrides Kavod HaBrios. So in that case, the Kavod HaBrios factor would win out. So again, this approach number one is basically saying, this is the Havamina of Noda Byuda, that Chilul Hashem is only triggered by a violation Bifar Hesya. So Dov already challenged and asked, where do we get this from? Get to Michal in a second. Where do we get this from that the notion of Chilul Hashem, right, the idea of Nikda, or slash Kiddush Hashem, right? Lo Sichal Hashem Kadashi, the Chilul Hashem part, and Nikdashti Pesach B'nei Yisrael. Where do we know that that is limited to Far Hesya? So anybody, how do you see the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Anybody see it? Get to
it? Nothing about it being in public.
No, the drasha in the Gemara is just about the clash between Kavod HaBrios and Chilul Hashem. But if you're trying to figure out what's the gedder of Chilul Hashem, so Bepashas, you would look at other sources which explicitly. So I'm saying that, I think the pasuk here is specifically trying to tell you that. The two parts. There's you have the individual factors, Kavod HaBrios, Chilul Hashem, and then you have the question of what happens when they clash with each other. The drasha here is just talking about when they clash and trying to establish that in the clash, Chilul Hashem wins out. But if you want to try to be magdir, what are the parameters of each factor? So then you should look elsewhere. And Chilul Hashem, look at the pasuk, Lo Sichal Hashem Kachi, V'nikdashti Pesach B'nei Yisrael, L'kiddush Hashem. Look there, Bepashtos, for the parameters of these halachos. And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the sugya, anyone remember what the sugya is talking about? The Har La'Yavor, right? It's going to explicitly say that what? Right, which is, what are the basic dinim of Har La'Yavor? Right, exactly. So when it comes to the three Averos Chamorot, which are? Exactly, right. Gil Arayash, Chazdam, and Vodah Zarah. So there you heard Vayavor, even where? Even Bitsina. But says the Gemara, but all Averos, which are violated Bivar Hesya, are subject to what? What's the din? Yahar Vayavor. What's the Pasuk? Lo Tzichal Hashem Kadshi. This factor of Chilul Hashem. And the Gemara, that's the Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin. And then the Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says, so what is Far Hesya? What's the Geder Far Hesya? And the Gemara says explicitly what? Asara B'nei Adam. 10 people. So it seems very clear, right? So this, if you're looking to the classical Makoros of Chilul Hashem in Shas, which comes up in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet, both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, right? It would seem to support this first approach, right? Which said that Chilul Hashem is limited to Far Hesya. To the audience of 10 people. And that would seemingly be in support of the Noda Byuda's Havamina, which says, oh, if the factor at hand is Chilul Hashem, so look at Chilul Hashem, Kol Torah Kula, and you see, Bepashas, that Chilul Hashem is limited to Far Hesya. That would be in support for approach number one. Yes, Michal.
So if by the case of adultery, you're saying that Kavod HaBrios comes before Chilul Hashem in this case, wouldn't every single case of adultery have Kavod HaBrios come before the Chilul Hashem? There would be no case where you say, oh, Chilul Hashem goes over Kavod HaBrios, because every single one will have Kavod HaBrios involved.
I mean, in terms of making a couple be divorced?
Yeah.
And let's say it becomes public.
So then it's already a Chilul Hashem, I'm saying beforehand.
That's a Chilul Hashem.
All the cases are so deep.
He's saying all the cases where no one else knows.
I mean, you said, will there ever be a case where a couple have to become divorced?
Right.
And the answer is, I'm saying, let's say...
You're saying you should always cover up adultery.
Yeah.
That's the ultimatum.
Yeah. You're saying, if it's private, you should always cover it up. Well, that's what basically the question is. Right. That, That's the question. The question is, that's exactly the case. It's a private case of adultery. No one knows about it. Should you stay quiet? Because the cover of real. That's the question. And that's the Havamina. Maskana is going to say otherwise. We have to figure out why. But yeah, the answer to your question is Einachanami. According to Havamina, yeah, this is the case. Your case is the case of the Shaila and the Gemara. And in order to be in the Havamina saying, always stay quiet.
Well, the Nodavi Huda said that you could even do it the Kumbase, like if he asks you, can you lie to him?
So let's discuss that when we get to the Kumbase part. Okay, because we're gonna have a whole discussion about what are the Gedarim of Kumbase and Sheva Taisa in this context. But let's finish up. Okay, so that's again according to approach number one, the Habminim Nodavi Huda and the Pashas of the Gemara Sanhedrin is that the fact of Chil Hashem is limited to Prahesya. But then comes along the Nodavi Huda in the Maskana and rejects this. And to analyze it, it's gonna be a fascinating transition. Nadav?
Yeah. Omerani, Daleta
de Halesa, right? This whole Havamina is wrong. Why?
Daverota Avera Mashanasa Ha Isur Kore Rabbi Huda Chil Hashem Benim Yabaroim Ben La.
Very important Yisod. So what does he say? What's the Chil Hashem?
The Isur.
Just the Isur. Says the second approach, the Maskana of the Nodavi Huda. No. The Chil Hashem here is the violation of an Isur de Oraisa alone. Even the tzina. Very important yisod. And again, Nodavi Huda goes on later to prove this, basically, right, later cases of the Gemara, which discuss Chil Hashem. One example is a Meis Mitzvah. Right? We'll get to this later. One example of Kavod HaBrios clashing with Chil Hashem is an example of a Meis Mitzvah, which we'll get to. Meis Mitzvah represents Kavod HaBrios. And the Brisa later on is going to say that if there's a clash between a Meis Mitzvah and other mitzvos, even the Oraisa, the Meis Mitzvah wins. So, the Brisa is going to say, a case of Meis Mitzvah by definition is in private. The whole point is that you're the only one who's around. And he's assuming, and therefore, since you're the only one around to deal with the Meis, presumably no one else will know about the violation of the Avera as well. So, the Brisa proves from various cases, which we'll discuss later, that the Pashas of the Gemara, although the original Gemara's case is Beshuk, other cases the Gemara mentions by Kavod HaBrios and Chil Hashem seem to be in private. So it says in Oda Biyuda, Lamaskana, that the Chil Hashem here is even Bitsina. And it's a beautiful formulation. He says, the Avera itself is the Chil Hashem, even if it's Bitsina. But then we're going to have to ask the question, but like, what about the sources in Sanhedrin, which limited Chil Hashem to Farhesya? Right, so where do you see where else do you ever find this concept that the Nodav Yehuda is saying lamaskana that Chil Hashem is violated even bitzina just through an avera alone? That's the question we're going to answer right now. And this, anybody ever learned the sugya of Yahar Layavar?
Yeah.
So,
what?
Okay, good. So she gave shiurim on this a couple of years ago. I think he was actually in the shiur then. So there are actually two big mahalchim in the sugya. There's a what is mechayev yahari vayavor for the three averos chamuros bitzina, right? Why do you give up your life for the big three, even in private, right? So there are two different mahalchim there. One mahalch is the chomer avera, that these averos are so chamur that they even override kedushas achayim, they even override life. That's one approach. But there's another approach championed by the Rambam. This is why I had you see in the Rambam Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Parakeh, where the Rambam says that the Mechayim of Yahari Vayavar for the big three, even Bitsina is what? Is Chil Hashem. Where the Rambam, right, when he presents the Dinim of Yahari Vayavar, even Bitsina says that the Mechayim of them is Chil Hashem. So here we have in the Rambam and all the Rishonim who agree with him, that basically there is even... Basically, when it comes to the violation of Averos, even Bitsina, there is also a factor of Chil Hashem. If you look, anybody have Yisodei HaTorah here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Hilchos, right, Parakei, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Halachos Aleph and Beis. So how does the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, okay, Hey Aleph, introduce all these Dinim of Yahari Vayavar? You don't have it? Okay. I'll just start off quickly. Kol, this is the way the Rambam frames the entire sugya. Kol Beis Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem hagadol hazeh shenemar v'nikdashti v'sok b'nei Yisrael. Right, all of Klai Yisrael are subject to this mitzvah, the positive mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, muzharin, and are subject in the opposite from the avera of chil Hashem shelo lechalo shenemar v'los lechalo Hashem kadoshi. And then he goes on, and then halacha basis to present the din. Bamed v'amurim, when do we say that you're supposed to violate the Avera? Bishar mitzvos, when it comes to other mitzvos. Chutz from the big three. They have all this gechavim, gilarayas, shvichas damet. So it's clear that the Rambam introduces the din of Yaharim v'yavor, even bitzina for the big three, in the context of chilul and kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam l'shitaso in Sefer mitzvos, in mitzvah losa say samach gimel, in the context of chilul Hashem, again mentions under the rubric of chilul Hashem the halacha of Yaharim v'yavor of the big three, even bitzina. So here you have in the Rambam, and all the Rishonim agree with him, this notion that the Noda Biyuda is saying Lamaskana in the second approach, which says that the factor of Chil Hashem is even violated, Bitsina. It's not about like the classic, oh, Chil Hashem, people are going to see you. No, just the fact that you're violating Avera, that itself is a desecration of...
Everyone agrees to Rambam?
No. So not everybody agrees to him. I was going to leave this out because it gets a little complicated. But, because you asked, The Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam and say it's based on Chumar Sa'isr presumably are arguing about this point. Are presumably saying, no. How? What do you mean? You see from the Gemara that Chil Hashem is limited to Farhesia. So what are they going to say? So either they're going to agree with approach number one. Right? So the Rishonim in the Sugya Yehar Vayavar who justify Yehar Vayavar Bitsina based on Chumar Sa'isr, presumably because they don't want to apply Chil Hashem Bitsina, either they're going to agree with approach number one, but the Noda Biyuda is Havmina, and say the Chil Hashem in the Sugya is only Bifar Hesya, or they're going to say there are different levels of Chil Hashem needed for different halachos. Meaning, the higher level, meaning in order to make someone give up their life, right, you need a higher level of Chil Hashem. And that higher level of Chil Hashem is only Bifar Hesya. But in our Sugya, we're... You only, right, you're not looking, you're not trying to get someone to give up their life. You're just trying to give up, you just need to override Kavod HaBrios. So maybe even they would agree that this the lower level of Chil Hashem, which applies even Bitsina, would be enough to be Docha Kavod HaBrios. So even if they don't think that Chil Hashem Bitsina is overrides Kedushas HaChayim, life, V'chai Behem, they will agree in the Sugya that it will override Kavod HaBrios. That's different ways to understand those shittos. But in short, I'm just trying to bring out the Rambam by Harav Yavar to show that this notion that of the second approach, the Nodavu, the Zengel Maskana, that the Chil Hashem, even Bitsina, is not the only place we find it. We see it other, you know, we see it in other contexts as well. Yeah?
Rambam only does the Chil Hashem Bitsina by those
two ways. Oh, so again, it gets back to the point I just... It gets back to... Great question. I think it gets back to the point I just made. Is that the Chil Hashem required to give up your life is a higher threshold than the Chil Hashem needed to be Doche Kavod HaBrios. So even though, right, the Chil Hashem, right, needed to make someone give up their life is limited to the big three, in the context of our Sugya, where you're not telling someone to give up their life, you're just telling them to give up their personal dignity, the Kavod HaBrios, then every Avera d'Oraisa.
So
even in private.
What?
Oh.
No, but the living together of Isra, that's a different Isra. That's not Isra Gilarayos, yeah, that's an Isra Labal. That's something else. It might be Abiz Rayu, that's its own Sugya, but presumably it has the status of Shar Mitzvos. Sorry, Nadav?
Yeah, so even Bitsina, any Mitzvah would be Chil Hashem?
Every Isra Doraisa. Okay. That's coming out of the Sugya. Right, coming out of the Sugya is that every Avera Doraisa, again, we'll get to the exceptions. There are going to be exceptions of mitzvahs derabanan. There are going to be exceptions of mitzvahs that had to do with mamonos. There are going to be exceptions of sheval taisa. But disregarding those exceptions, the rule is that every iser d'oraisa, according to the second approach, even bitsina, triggers a Chil Hashem, which overrides Kavod HaBrios. Okay? So far we're basically discussing, right, the first factor of Chil Hashem. So two different approaches. The first approach is the Chil Hashem is limited to Farhesya. That's the Havamina of the Noda Bihuda. Aligns nicely with the Pashas of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which limits the Chil and Kiddush Hashem to Farhesya. It has to be in front of 10 people. And then we said the second approach, which seems to be the normative approach, which is the Maskan of the Noda Bihuda, which says, no, the Chil Hashem in the Sugya is even Bitsina. And we pointed out, you have the Rambam in Yehar Vayavar, who basically says this explicitly, that even the higher level of Chil Hashem needed to compel someone to give up their life, even that higher level of Chil Hashem can exist, Bitsina. So there you have this model for the notion of Chil Hashem even applying Bitsina. Fine. So now that we discussed the first factor of Chil Hashem, let's go on to discuss the second factor of Kavod HaBrios, right? So it's clear from the Shach of the Torah, that the factor of Kavod HaBrios is a d'oraisa value which needs to be contended with. Right? From a number of different indications from the Shach B'Tarya, it's not just some d'rabbanan factor, it's a real d'oraisa. And there are a number of indications we'll just go through quickly in the Shach B'Tarya, which indicate that Kavod Brios is a serious factor mi d'oraisa, not just something that the Rabbanan came up with. Number one is the Havamina, that the factor of Kavod Brios would tell you to violate an Issur d'oraisa, right? You wouldn't have a Havamina for a factor of Kavod Brios to tell you to violate an Issur d'oraisa if not for the fact that Kavod Brios itself is d'oraisa. Number one. Number two, even the Maskana, which says that no Chil Hashem wins out, it's based on a drasha, right? It's not a Deber Pashit. We need to Kamash Milan, a drasha, right, to tell you that no, the single of the d'oraisa value of Chil Hashem overrides the d'oraisa value of Kavod Brios. So both the Hamina and the Maskana say Kavod Brios is a d'oraisa factor, which, you know, needs to be contended with. And then, you know, as an indication number three in the Shach B'Tarya, is the Braisa, which we'll get to soon, which is Gadol, is the Braisa, which is Gadol Kavod Brios Shedoche Es Lo Saseh Shebetorah. Right? How great is the factor of Kavod Brios that it's Doche Lo Saseh in the Torah? So again, you know, the Gemara is going to end up the Maskana saying that, as referring to Issur d'Rabbanan. Just the formulation of Gadol Kavod Brios sounds like, right, Kavod Brios is a very important, presumably a D'Oraisa. And then we're going to see, over the course of the sugya, that there are cases, even the Maskana, where the fact of Kavod Brios tells a person to violate an Issur d'Oraisa. We don't, right, mitzvos d'Oraisa have to do with mamonos, or nitzches, right, bifnei chalash and Kavod Brios, and also if the violation d'Oraisa is sheva taisa, that's also nitzches bifnei Kavod Brios. So all these factors are telling us that Kavod Brios is a serious inyan d'Oraisa. So again, the Havamina Maskana saying that it would contend that it would violate Issur d'Oraisa, only have a drasha to override it. You have the Braisa, the Lashon Gadol Kavod Brios, and then even the Maskana, the fact that you violate an Issur d'Oraisa that has to do with Mamonos, or you violate an Issur d'Oraisa b'Shev al-Taisa because of Kavod Brios, all telling us that Kavod Brios must be an Inyan d'Oraisa. So now the question is, what's the Makor? What is the Makor for Kavod Brios, which basically was clear, which made, right, which the Shach B'Tarya made clear countless times that it must be d'oraisa. So we're going to see that there seem to be two different makoros that come out of the Shach B'Tarya. Anybody know one of them? Clear from the Shach B'Tarya, which is a makor d'oraisa for Kavod Brios. I'll give you a hint. It's an exception. What? Lo sasur? No. What? Yes, exactly. What's the Salam to Mayhem about? Exactly. When it comes to the mitzvah d'oraisa of Ashavas Aveda, there's an exception that you do not have to do. You can violate the assay of Ashavas Aveda if it's going to come at the expense of your Kavod Brios. Dov, would you mind reading the Braisa? Starts Tashma the Salamta Man. If you numbered it, it's like. Right, so what's the context? The context is. Ashavas Aveda. What does Salamta Man mean? You can ignore, right? It says in the context of Ashavas Aveda that in some cases you can ignore the Aveda. So this sounds like sometimes you can ignore it. The mitzvah doesn't apply, and sometimes the mitzvah obviously does apply, and you can't ignore it. So the price says, Hug Kate, Sud. So the first case is not our Indian. That's when it's to come at the expense of a lav of. Right, the tumah of a kohen, big sugya there. Why is an ase dochalos ase? That's a separate inyan about be'idna. Ase dochalos ase is only when you fulfill the ase at the same time that you violate the law. But in the case over there, it won't come at the same time. What? That's my point. Meaning, what the question they ask on this point is, why isn't the ase of Ashavas Aveda docha the law of the iser for a kohen to become tumah?
What?
This is a side point, but what? What?
Yeah.
Why?
That's
only true by Nazir. So again, this is a side point. There are a number of answers to this question. One of them is the factor of Be'idne, which basically, and there are other factors which get brought.
The next case is only
another. Exactly. Our I only want to get to the second case. The second case, which is Nogea to our Gemara. I'm glad that even the side topics, you know, engender such enthusiasm. But what's the second case? Oh, I have Zakin. What's the case?
He's a Zakin, and it's not appropriate for his kavod to
be walking, exactly, to be walking around. All right, so the Gemara is saying that in the case where the kavod of brios of the Zakin would be breached, so his kavod of brios is doche the asay de oraisa of Shavas Aveda. Right, because it's a lambda. Right? And the Gemara is going to end up, you know, like basically, the Gemara says, Amai. Basically, what do you mean? Why do you have here Kavod HaBrios be Doche Chil Hashem? This is Gzeiras HaKasav, which says the Kavod HaBrios is Doche. So the Gemara says, it should be a Binyanav. It should be a Binyanav that Kavod HaBrios is always Doche Chil Hashem. Very important answer, which we'll get back to later. Right? Basically, mitzvahs have to do with mammon are different. We'll get back to that later. But the point I'm trying to get at is that it's clear from this drasha, de oraisa, that there's a value of kavod HaBrios. The fact that kavod HaBrios, right, the mitzvah, right, that the Torah itself is telling you that the mitzvah of Shavuos Aveda doesn't apply when it comes to the expanse of kavod HaBrios, is telling you, makor number one, that the inyan of kavod HaBrios is de oraisa. So again, so the first makor, right, coming from Pesukim to this notion of kavod HaBrios, is the exception to Hashavas Aveda. Yeah.
Would you say it's still Kavod HaBrios if the conversation is limited to only Kavod HaRav?
Or is
still, would you say it's limited to Kavod HaRav? I mean,
okay.
Because the Rosh there says it's only Kavod HaRav.
Okay, good.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to get back to that. Because it also, when Emmanuel was reading the first part, when it says, the first Rosh is in Chokin Kavod HaRav. So the question, even in our original memra, is kavod HaBrios limited to a rav, or is that an afilu kavod HaRav? We're gonna get back to that later in the sukkah, okay? And you're right. If that was your only makor, then you'd have to look whether maybe it's only limited to a zakin, okay? But the other way to learn is that only for a zakin would carrying some type of aveda be a breach in kavod HaBrios. That could just be the metzias of a case of kavod HaBrios, right. But everyone would be subject to the kavod HaBrios just in Metzias of saying being poshed is baggage. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that the Indian of kavod HaBrios is limited to a zakim, and maybe just the case at hand only exists by.
Well, it's a Shavuos Aveda, an embarrassing object.
Then, okay, exactly. Then,
not
then,
even to a zakim.
Exactly. Then the question would be, would it extend as well? So we'll get back to this as well. The second potential makor for kavod HaBrios is the mitzvah of Mace Mitzvah. Right, we're going to get to this later on in the Shach Vartaria. But the mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah, which we know is Doche, many, many, many dinim, we're going to see the Gemara that I had you see, I don't know if you got to it yet, but the Gemara Megillah Gimel and Beis explicitly characterizes that the value underlying Meis Mitzvah is the value of Kavod HaBrios. So the Gemara in Megillah Gimel and Beis has a question of what happens when there's a clash between the mitzvah Mikra Megillah and a Mace Mitzvah. The Gemara asks which one comes first. But it's important for our purposes to see how the Gemara characterizes the value underlying each of these mitzvahs. So Bali Rava, again, if you didn't get to it tonight, we're not going to have Shira, so you'll have more time to move ahead in the Koros. But again, the Gemara Megillah Gimel Beis says, Bali Rava, Rava asks the question, Mikra Megillah u Mace Mitzvah, hai minayu ad. You have a clash between Megillah and Mace Mitzvah, which comes first? Mikra Megillah Adav Mishum Persumenisa. Do you say Mikra Megillah comes first because of the value of Persumenisa, which is important in its own right, but not for us? O Dilma Meis Mitzvah Adav. Maybe Meis Mitzvah comes first. Why? Mishum Kavod HaBrios. Because of the factor of Kavod HaBrios. Basically telling you, the Gemara explicitly, that the mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah is all about the value of Kavod HaBrios. So once we know later on in our Shach HaVitaya, right, that this mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah is even doche other mitzvahs, we see that this value of Kavod HaBrios has a makor in the Torah. So again, in short, right, we basically saw in the Shach HaVitaya that Kavod HaBrios is this inyan de oraisa, therefore it can be doche sternin isurim de oraisa, there's a havamir that would be doche ol isurim de oraisa. We basically then asked, so then, okay, it must be an Indian Dor. It must be a mitzvah de oraisa. It can't just be a derabanan value, because then why would it be doche all these yisurim de oraisa? So we basically said, no, it must be de oraisa. And we presented two potential makoros for the inyan of Kavan Prios. One of them is the exception to the mitzvah HaShavas Aveda, that the mitzvah HaShavas Aveda doesn't apply when it comes against Kavan Prios. And the second makor is the mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah, which is all about, says the Gemara Megillah, which is all about the value of Kavan Prios, that dead body is no one to bury him. The personal dignity of that corpse basically is Mechai of the mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah, which overrides, we know, many other mitzvahs. So again, so far in this year, we discussed, right, the nature and parameters of Chilul Hashem. We discussed the nature and the makor of Kavanah Brios. Now, the last thing I'd like to discuss in the last couple minutes we have is the nature of the clash between these two values. Right, in the case at hand, it's clash. In the case of, right, the person who's wearing Kalayim in the Shuk, on the one hand, he's continuing to wear the Kalayim, continuing to violate the Avera is Chilul Hashem. On the other hand, to compel him, to require him to take off the beged would be a breach in his covenant of brios. It's causing him to be, you know, unclothed, to be arum, even in public. And that's obviously a breach in his covenant of brios. I did now discuss for a couple moments, what exactly is the nature of this clash between these two different values? And it's an important model for looking at clashes between two d'oraisa values in general, or any halachic values. So I'll say, again, two approaches. The classic way of looking at this clash is that it's a clash of two different values. You have one value of Chilul Hashem, you have a different value of Kavanah Brios, and the question is, which of these two values is greater, takes precedence? So the classic way of looking at this clash is a clash of two different values. One's about Kavanah Brios, personal dignity, the other one's about Chilul Hashem, and they're two different values, and the question is, which comes first? Which takes precedence? That's a classic way of viewing it. But I'd like to suggest, based on the Lashonos of a number of Rishonim in this Sugya, to take a slightly different approach to all the clashes in this Sugya between Kavanah Brios and Chilul Hashem. And that it's not a clash between two different values, but that both of these values relate to a single value of Kavod. It's all one value of kavod, and the question is, who's the subject of the kavod, and therefore, which subject deserves more kavod? So again, according to the second approach, it's not a clash between two different values, it's really all one value of kavod, and the question is, who do you give kavod to first? And let's go through the cases. Chilul Hashem, it's kavod of who? Hashem. Kavod of Brios, it's kavod for yourself. And we'll get to Lashonos and Rishonim for all these. The idea of the mitzvah shel mamon, when we say that Kavanah Brios is doche, a mitzvah has to do with mamon, there it's a clash between your kavod and someone else's kavod. And the question is, what Hashavas Aveda, the zaken, does the zaken's kavod come first? Or does the kavod of the other person who owns the object come first? So again, it's all about all within kavod. The only question is, who's the subject of the kavod, and which subject deserves more? And the last example, we have a clash between kavod of brios and mitzvahs derabanan. So there is a clash between my personal kavod and whose kavod? When it comes to mitzvahs derabanan, the kavod of the rabbanan, of the chacham. I'm going to now go through all these different cases and show in the formulations of the Rishonim that they formulate all these cases in terms of kavod. So you have this, I think, a new way of understanding the sugya. That's not about a clash between two different values. On the one hand, Chilul Hashem, the other hand, Kavanah Brios, and just two unrelated values. The question is, which takes precedence? But it's really all one value of kavod, and the question is, whose kavod comes first? So let's go through, right, these different examples of these different, you know, inyanim in the sugya, the different values in the sugya, and show how they all relate to kavod. So first one is Kavanah Brios. You don't need anything, right? The fact that Kavanah Brios is all about kavod just comes from the term Kavanah Brios. So that doesn't need any makor. Sorry, Kavanah Brios is all about the kavod of oneself. So that doesn't even need a makor. But Chilul Hashem. How do we know that Chilul Hashem is all about the kavod of Hashem? So if you look at the Me'iri, how do you see it? Again, if you didn't get to it, you'll see it later. The Me'iri in Dirumah, in honor, so yeah, in Dirumah Eschil Afalpi. Anybody have a kovetz here? Would you mind opening it up? In the Eri, Dira Maskel Alfalpi, as an important line where, again, he formed, this is where when I saw this Meiri, that is really what changed my perspective on the sugya. Like, oh my gosh, the Meiri is clearly, it's not two different values, it's all one value of kavod, and the question is, whose kavod comes first? So the Meiri on Yates on the base, Dibur HaMaschil, Af Al Pi. I'm stolen for you. Yeah, got it? Yes, see?
Af Al Pi Shekavod Habriyas Chaviv, Kavod Torah Einu Nidche Mifanov.
That's the key line. So again, slow. So even though there's an important value of kavod abrios, a personal dignity, personal kavod, how does he formulate it? He doesn't say chil Hashem comes first. What does he say?
Kavod Torah.
Kavod Torah. Clearly formulating that this clash between kavod abrios and chil Hashem is not a clash between two separate values. It's a clash within kavod. But the question is, whose kavod comes first? Kavod abrios, my personal dignity, or kavod Torah? And the Gemara is saying kavod Torah comes first. So there you clearly see the Meiri formulating the value not only of kavod abrios in terms of kavod, but also chil Hashem is also din and kavod, and kavod Hashem / kavod HaTorah. So now moving on to mitzvos derabanan. How do I know that mitzvos derabanan have to do with kavod? Maybe mitzvos derabanan, there's a value of a mitzvah derabanan. And we're going to see, there are other, some Rishonim are going to say that. How do I know that even mitzvahs derabanan are all about the kavod of the chachamim and the clashes between my personal kavod and the kavod of the chachamim? So here you have a very important shita of Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Nathaniel, do you have a Gemara near you?
Me?
Sorry, Nathan. Dibur Maschil Bebeis HaPras. See the last line in Rashi? So again, we'll read the Shach Matar when we get to the exception of Mitzvahs Derabanan. So there, where the Gemara asks the Kasha, in a case where, because of Kavod, you basically follow an Avel, even a Kohen follows an Avel into a place with Tumah, sounds like, and it's not for Kavod Aprios, it sounds like Kavod Aprios is being Doch and Isser De Oraisa for a Kohen to become Tame. Gemara says, no, it's only Tumah Derabanan, because it's a Beis HaPras. So the beginning of the Rashi is just discussing the details of Beis HaPras, why it's only Derabanan. And at the end, the last line, you see, you're starting with Rabbanan who? The last line in that Rashi, Beis HaPras?
Yeah.
So when Rashi, and he does this twice in the Sugya, when he formulates why it is that Kavod Abrios is Doch and Isser Rabbanan, he says the following fascinating formulation. You see Rabbanan?
Rabbanan who, Kavod.
It's a little hard to read that, but it's the Rabbanan who, the Achlua, who are Mochel Liakrayo. Do you know what Liakrayo means? They're kavod. They're mochel, they're kavod to the kavod abrios of the avo. The way Rashi explains, and he does this also later on in Dibur Maschil, Kol Mili Dirabanan, has the same formulation of Rabbanan Achlu Liakrayu. In both cases, Rashi formulates that why is it that kavod abrios is docha in Isser Dirabanan? The reason is because the Rabbanan were mochel, they're kavod to the kavod of kavod abrios. Telling you, it's very important, we'll get back to this later, the Rashi says the mechayiv of mitzvahs derabanan is the kavod of the chachamim. And therefore the clash between kavod abrios and mitzvahs derabanan is not just a clash between two different values, kavod abrios on the one hand and mitzvahs derabanan on the other hand. No, it's all about kavod. And the question is, which kavod comes first? The kavod Atzmacha, right, your own personal kavod abrios, or the kavod of the chachamim. And the Rabbah, and Rashi is telling us, the only reason why the kavod abrios comes first is because the Rabbanan were mochel their kavod. So again, you see from Rashi that even the clash between kavod abrios and mitzvahs Rabbanan is this clash, an internal clash, as we'll call it, within the realm of kavod. The question is just, who's subject to the kavod? So we've seen kavod abrios is obviously about kavod. We saw that chil Hashem is about kavod, as the Meiri formulates, it's about kavod Torah. Now we saw the mitzvahs derabanan are all about kavod chachamim according to Rashi. And then we're about to see the mitzvahs shel mamon also.
Would we want to prove from the fact that there are rabbanan were mochel their
kavod? I mean that the mechayev of mitzvahs derabanan is...
Isn't it a little sasha?
So the question is, what's that based on? We'll get to this later on. But basically, Rashi is basically saying that the mechayev of Lo Sasur is this idea that the Torah is being mitzvah as to respect the chachamim. And when they say something, when they make a mitzvah, out of our, and we'll get to give some makoros for this idea, that the mechayev is out of kavod to the chachamim. And therefore, we have to listen to their mitzvahs. So what I'm bringing out is that therefore even the clash between Kavod HaBrios and Mrs. Drabanan is all about a clash of Kavod. It's an internal clash, not between two external values, but it's all about Kavod and the question which comes first. We'll get back to this later, but again, so again, we have Kavod HaBrios, we have the Meiri formulating that even Chil Hashem of Mrs. De'oraisa are all about Kavod Torah, and that Rashi explaining that the Mrs. Drabanan are all about Kavod Chachamim. And now when it comes to Mitzvah Shel Mammon, do you have, oh, that's, oh, let me close it. Later on, we'll get back to this later. But the Meiri has a fascinating formulation. We're trying to understand why is it that Kavod HaBrios is doche a mitzvah of mammon, right? When the Gemara says that you can't make a binyan av from Hashavas Aveda to all mitzvahs to say that, oh, Kavod HaBrios is doche all mitzvahs. Because no, Kavod HaBrios is only doche. When it says, when the last shown of the Gemara is, Yisru mi memona lo yafinan, that mitzvahs shel mammon are different. Or as the Gemara is saying, mitzvah shel mammon are different and Kavod HaBrios are only docha and mitzvah shel mammon. So the Rishonim are all bothered by, and we'll get to this later, what's different about mitzvah shel mammon? Why are mitzvah shel mammon, why do they lose to Kavod HaBrios while other mitzvahs do not? So the Meiri there basically says a fascinating formulation which works in perfectly with what we're saying. He has this line where he says, the reason why Kavod HaBrios beats out mitzvah shel mammon, because he says, shlo amra Torah Kabed Acherim? The Torah does not tell us to be mechabed other people bekalon atzmacha, at the expense of your own kavod. So again, what the Meiri is clearly doing is, again, he's framing the clash between Kavod HaBrios and Mitzvah Shel Mammon as a clash between all within kavod, but whose kavod comes first? My kavod? Or the kavod, or the other person's kavod? To give the case, the kavod of the Zakein, or the kavod of the Baal HaMamon, of the owner of the lost object. So the way the Meiri frames it, again, it's all about kavod. Whose kavod comes first? And the way Meiri is saying is that the Gemara is saying, Lamaskana, is that I'm a mechuyev to give up my own kavod in order to be mechabit someone else. It's like the idea like Chayach HaKoltman type idea. But again, and we'll get back to this when we're going to analyze all these cases individually. We're going to analyze Sheva Taisa, we're going to analyze Mrs. Drabanan individually, we're going to analyze Mitzvah Shel Mammon independently. But what I'm trying to develop here is that when we're looking at the sugya, which is all about a clash between two different values, is it a clash between two separate values? Or is it really all an internal clash? It's all about one value of kavod, and it's just the question is, whose kavod comes first? And we're just trying to bring the lishonos in the different contexts of the different values in the sugya, which are clashing with each other, and showing that Rishonim formulate all of them in terms of kavod. So yeah, just to summarize, you have kavod HaBrios, personal kavod, that's just the Gemara's formulation in terms of kavod. When it comes to Chil Hashem, Mitzvahs De'oraisa, the Meiri says it's all about kavod HaTorah. And Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan, you have the Rashi saying it's all about kavod Chachamim. And then when it comes to Mitzvahs Shel Mammon, you have the Meiri again saying it's all about the kavod of the person who owns the mammon. So again, here we just opened up the sugya. When you have this clash between Chil Hashem and kavod HaBrios, analyze Chil Hashem independently, analyze Kavod HaBrios independently, and then analyze the nature of the clash between them. Yeah.
Does that also apply to Haitz Malachta Marubo?
No, that's something else. That's basically saying it's not worth it for, I mean...
Right, so it's not about Kavod.
Yeah, that's a separate, yeah. This is only the beginning. What?
What was that?
No,
it's not worth it for him.
Because he's going to have to pay you back. Exactly. He's going to, whatever the person who finds it, whatever money he spends on it, the Baal HaAveda has to pay. So it's not worth it for the Baal HaAveda. Exactly. It's not
more money than it's worth. He wouldn't want it.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's basically mochel, something along those lines. So again, the rest of the sugya again tonight is not going to be sure. The rest of the sugya we're going to be analyzing the sheet. Each of the exceptions is a topic in and of itself. The exception of Mrs. Drabanan is a topic, which opens up the whole nature of Mrs. Drabanan. And the topic of Mitzvah Shel Mammon is an own topic. Shev Al Taisa. So basically, the way we're going to do the rest of the sugya is all about going to be about the exceptions to this rule, and each one will be a topic in itself. Everyone enjoy visiting day, and we'll see.